Killer Keller podcast. Killer Keller official.com.
Instagram UK frontline.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller podcast.
You know, thing. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Killer Keller Podcast. Welcome to the Keller Dome. Subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend. Big shout out to Graffiti King, side of the place. Well, ain't I out of my fucking depth right now? We have some certified OGs from the graffiti culture inside the place. Insane.
Quick, Rich. Put your masks up. Oh shit, it's too late. No. Tell them, John, they're going to know who you are.
Ain't got
fuck.
My insane gosh. Rich, no limits, crew inside the place.
Right?
KTC as well,
yeah, yeah.
There's a story there that we were originally called Coast to Coast, yeah. K's for the coast,
right.
Me, Rich Rage, and Saga. And then we decided to mix it up and go to No Limits. Mm. And then who was it that came to you and asked for the name?
No, I taught Info the Graph.
Info hooked up with Rich, and
I gave them the name.
Became KTC, and arguably they went on bigger and better than we ever did. But that's for another podcast.
Mad. Listen, it is a really, really, guys, it's a case of winding this up and letting it move, because we have been talking. I feel like I've been school. There's going to be a lot of school going on right now. Let's let the games begin, gentlemen. What was it like back in the day?
Well, before graffiti, before graffiti. Well,
let's go before the graffiti.
Well, for me, I lived in Maiderville. Originally, I was in South London at first, Peckham.
You were in Peckham?
Yeah, first,
What the fuck?
Where's this bed? But I tell you what, we got burgled every day.
Newsflash, South Londoner.
Yeah, we got burgled every day. So, no, originally from West, but we lived in Peckham for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We got burgled every day, said, no, it's no good. Then we got sent back to Maiderville. So I lived in Maiderville.
Right.
As you know, I was probably... there's only two black families in the... It was like in the area that I knew. And we was one of them, yeah? I mean, a big family. Mm. So, but I used to go down to the Labbot Grove and Harrow Road as a youth in the weekends, my nan's house from Friday to Sunday. So that's where I got the kind of ghetto, had the ghetto life on the weekend and the kind of yuppie life Monday to Friday. I had two sets of friends, actually, yeah.
About that life right there.
Yeah, and then obviously, you know, you're a young guy. I was going to school, St. George's. And that's where I met Rage, Foam, a few other guys that
You need to put that into proper context. I didn't go to St. George's. Although we grew up in the same area.
Yeah. And your friends went there as well. Your friends. Yeah.
So I had my mates went to St. George's. My mum made me go to a school in Victoria, which is weirdly enough, I was in the same class as Time, and Prime was in my school as well. And Saga for that matter too.
Rest in peace.
Going back to him, he was in the same year and class as Rage and Foam.
Yeah.
And 2 years above him was Fade 2 from Nonstop.
Yeah.
So you... But then we also shared...
But we didn't know each other.
Damn!
And we also shared friends outside of that. So, I mean, Bunny lived... State Park lived around the corner at Bunny Park. Yeah. Time was from Listen Green Estate. He was on the same balcony as Kane from Nonstop.
I'm going to...
I forget the name of the house, but they were on the fifth
floor. But he lived in Maiderville, though, after.
He moved to Maiderville after Listen Green, because me and him went to primary school in Marylebone. But then we also shared people like Titus and Morph and the Atterburys, who arguably were one of the original English
hip-hop rap
groups.
Yeah. Power Pack. Power Lords.
They ring bells,
So, you know, we had this loose connection anyway before kind of Graph started. Everyone knew everyone. Indirectly.
So me going to school... is where I met my girlfriends, where he had Roger, which is Rage, Ebony, which is Foam, and there's another guy, Brendan.
He's snitching, he's giving them their real names out.
Yeah, not the whole name, but you know what I mean? But
I'm not sure comments go on this one.
It's not Roger, it's not Ebony. No. No names, please.
I'll give you some joke, what it is, yeah, right? Subway Art come out. So I didn't know nothing about graffiti. Subway Art come out. And I remember it was in W.H. Smith's. I showed them. I said, look what my mum bought me. I showed them the book. he went straight down to W.H. Smith's. He wrecked two of them straight away, right? And he, if you ever speak to him, he'll tell you, yeah, Rich took me to the W.H. Smith's, showed him Subway Art. That's when
W.H. Smith's and Kilburn High
Road. Yeah, that's when his graffiti life started.
Kilburn High Road,
yeah.
There you go.
But, and my first piece I ever done was in my school. I did a big blockbuster saying, John. And this is so funny. Obviously, we're getting to school, you got your school lineup in the morning. So, you know, in the playground, there's a big white wall. The day before, there was nothing there. The morning they come to line up, there's a big drum piece. I remember I did it after the school school club.
Mm.
And I remember the teacher, get a man who done this and blah, blah, blah. And everyone's looking around like, and then Jay's like, my name's Johnny, it's you, isn't it? Yeah, it was me. But I mean, that was my first piece. Yeah.
That's a steep learning curve, right? Don't use your own name.
Yeah, and I only got reminded about that because Jason, who's a state of art.
Oh, Jason as well, yeah.
Airheads, he reminded me. Remember that thing you did in school? I'm like, he's like a hoarder of memories. He tells me stuff. I'm like, how's he know all this stuff? How's he remember? He remembers me taking him out on the tracks. I don't remember none of this stuff. So I've got a lot of memory loss. So I get a lot of flashbacks when people show me stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I met, me, Rage. And there's another guy in our crew. It was called NGA, Nasty Graffiti Artist. I remember, listen.
Yeah, come a little bit closer into the picture there, because we don't want to be losing.
Oh, sorry.
We don't want to be losing you.
All right. Sometimes I pop in and out because I've been...
We will elaborate. He's got a bad back at the moment.
But yeah, going back to the school, that's when my graffiti sort of days started. It's when I saw the Subway Art book and Rage. And there's another guy called Brendan. He was part of the crew. I was the worst graffiti artist because I started late. They were already doing graffiti.
When did Cat come into play then?
Oh, he came
later.
As we was getting Grove, as we were doing many pieces, because he came into quite late. But he was just a tagger. And then we was doing graffiti in Grove and stuff. And then we met all different people. Like we met Matthew, met all different people.
Mm.
And then everyone come in Grove. And then we had we had a sort of unity, everyone sort of hanging with each other.
Mm.
And that's how I met Keck and his brother. Yeah, Keck, Wayne, isn't it?
Wayne. That's my boy, Wayne, yeah. Yeah, tight, Wayne.
So, you know, that's how... And then they say, graffiti was like, if you're playing, like today's kids are playing arcade games or computer games on the Xbox. That was graffiti, that was our fun. You know what I mean? So that's how I met Rage and Foam from school.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another guy, another guy was in a crew, but he came to Grove one day. I'll tell you a story. I won't say his name, though, but he came to Grove one day. Because I got introduced to Labrador Grove through Rage's friend, Pisces. Went down Labrador Grove and I said, wow, man, I saw graffiti for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I first saw graffiti in Labrador Grove.
We were talking about this, like, with the Clash bringing Futura down, which is why it maybe became the epicenter.
That's right.
I came down, and there's in Grove, like them times there, Scam, 1UP, who's Enigma.
Demo.
Demo, best Scam. Artists were really Scam. Scamming them lot. They were like B-boys, they're breakers. You know what I mean?
And Chase.
Chase. I saw Chase's brother the other day. I was speaking about Chase.
Chase used to work in London Underground in the 80s. So he was getting up. He was right then up. But he also worked.
Stop it. Yeah. That's bad.
So we had another guy in our crew that would have been very good at graffiti. Because I was the worst one because I started late. But we went down Grove one day and Grove was known for getting robbed. Like this was, so I had my own experience down there. Me, Rage, and I had another writer that was in a crew. I can't remember his writer's name, but his name is Brendan. He was my friend. Went down Grove, and all the Grove robbers were outside. We was tagging, blah, blah, blah. And he said, like, who was he? Brendan was the white guy. Brendan was running for his life. Just ran. Mm-hmm. He just stood his ground. We stood our ground. That was it. He ran. He never came back. Never came out of us again. But he would have been a good artist because he was very good. I remember looking. I said, this guy's good, man. And I was like the worst one. I started late. So Rage was with, Rage and Men started before me. So Rage introduced me to graffiti. So, yeah.
It's an interesting mentality. Like, you guys, we did allude to this at the beginning before we started. We're definitely going to circle around a lot of what we're talking about. You alluded to the idea that the criminality factor, of, you know, either you could stomach it or you couldn't. It was a very different time back then. There was post-war kind of, bomb sites. And we're talking about 70s and 80s, you know, extracurricular activities, which was kind of rife. And there was a, slap on the wrist here and there.
I think you had that. I mean, I'm not saying that writing was... you know, purely working class because it wasn't. Mm. But I think if you grew up in that environment, it was a great escape because, as you mentioned, there was no internet, there was no mobile phone.
No, nothing.
Without sounding like a cliche, you were kind of, you know, left your house, your mum gave you 50p and you came back when the sun went down.
Yeah, she didn't know what you'd done.
And you were allowed to roam. I was wandering around on the underground. I used to go to school in Marylebone, so I'd walk from Maidenvale to Marylebone or get the tube at 9. So you kind of go, your parents let you go off and do whatever. So we knew the tube systems early. It was like, and then Subway Art appeared. And I think almost at that time, we bought into the whole culture, Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Fucking Barrels. It was the music. It was the clothes.
Yeah,
it was the breaking. It was the DJ. We bought into hip hop and the art was art. Literally every writer you saw had Puma States on, which were not great running away shoes, which I found out to my detriment at that time.
Yeah.
And Kangols, and you stole Kazals from the local optician. Yeah. And I think as it's evolved, it's changed. And you kind of go, well, actually, you don't have to like it all. You can just buy into the art or the music or all of it if you want.
Yeah.
But it was suddenly, it was something new for us.
Yeah, that hip-hop culture just hit me, boom, one time.
It landed.
I remember, it's very hard. I remember before hip-hop, before I heard hip-hop, I remember I was on TV, I remember I always just listened to Top of the Pops with my mum. But when hip-hop came, that took my whole life
over. It resonated.
I just tuned into it, I zoned into it. When you saw them old African robot, like you saw that, what's that, Buffalo Girl?
Malcolm McLaren.
All that kind of stuff. And, you know, always, there was all small clippings of like Africa Mbata, Brim, and all that. Then I saw Brim, you know, his piece in Kilburn.
Yeah.
So when they came to London, you know, and I went a little bit grow, I started watching all these things, but you know, connected to hip hop, and that was it. My life became hip hop. I wasn't into no girls unless you're a hip hop girl. Unless you're a girl doing graffiti. I remember
now he's not so fussy.
Yeah, but before it had to be a girl that does graffiti. Like this was the law. Everything was you eat, sleep, shit, graph. That was me. My house was bombed. My chair was bombed. My bedroom was bombed. In school, every desk, like we'd be in schools and we have different classes, like science class, mathematics class, and everyone in school was writing. Like, so you got to imagine with Rage, Foam, and a few others, we're the elite because we're doing the real stuff on the trains. We're going to we're painting in Lebbock Grove, but everyone in school was just a writer on their desk. This is in schools, everyone did graffiti, and we was the elite. Like, we're actually doing it with spray cans, but most kids did it with pen and what a name on the desk. So in school, we bombed the desks in the school. Who can get up on the desks? That was like a main thing. You go to certain classes, oh man, he's been here. And we would all do burners on the desk. There was like enough lessons where I'm just doing a whole piece on the desk, not doing nothing in school. Nothing at all. So that was like a way of getting up in school. So you've got to imagine, you might get 4 graffiti writers and 300 toys. Mm. That's how school was.
Nothing's changed really then.
I'll give you some joke here, right? I always say it's the Rage. I said, Rage, remember when we was toys? He goes, what do you mean? I said, remember the piece? This is no lie. No lie. Listen, this is some history now, right? Chrome Angels did their piece in Grove. You know the one that says Angels?
Yeah.
He's a bit of them bad boy characters.
They're legendary, yeah.
Right? This is history now, right? I was there watching them doing the piece. Pride and blah, blah, blah. Me being a toy, that's why, I went up to the corner of the piece and ripped my name. I can't remember what my name was. I know Rage was Tops. But we was the first guys to tag the piece, the Angels piece.
But that was a thing, wasn't it? During the 80s, people would tag pieces. I still don't know why. Maybe it's close to it. And
no, we tag it thinking, oh, everyone's going to see us. That was our vision. We're going, oh, we tag it. Oh, we're up. Because everyone's going to come and see this piece, Angels piece. That's why I remember being a toy. So I remember I had the mindset of a toy, why did I do that? I see him just finish the piece, just finished it. I walked up in a corner, ripped my name. Top, I think it was Tops or something. But I remember doing that.
It's a learning curve.
Yeah.
All of that is a learning curve. And we were talking about this earlier before Johnny showed up in terms of the way that people are about graffiti that it's anti-establishment and you need to be, you know what, fuck the government, bruv, and conspiracy theories, and this COVID shit, and there are no rules and regulations. I ain't following no rules and regulations. But the minute it comes to graph, it's like, you went over my tag, and it was because you know the rules in graffiti. There's a, you put a throw up over a tag, and a dub over it, and a piece goes over, and it's like, you either assign to the chaos theory or you fucking don't.
People like
rules and regulations. Exactly. Mm. See, the Sin City or it isn't.
Like today's rules, I put a post up a few weeks ago, and a few people messaged me, but some new writers didn't understand what I meant. When you have a Hall of Fame, I said, you shouldn't call Trillick a Hall of Fame. Why you don't call it a Hall of Fame?
No, you're right. You are right.
You don't call Trillick, because when you have a Hall of Fame, only the elite paint there.
Yeah.
Only the elite go in that yard and paint there.
But it never was a Hall of Fame, though, was it?
It was. When we did it, it was Hall of Fame.
Up until when you guys did it, then it became the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, because for you to go over there, you've got to do something better.
Yeah.
You can't just go there and...
See, he assigns to the rules and regulations and the theory.
So when people say, Trillick Hall of Fame, no, Trillick's is a free spot you can go paint. You should never call it a Hall of Fame, because they only supposed to do burners. You shouldn't be able to anyone go... In a Hall of Fame, not anyone should be able to go in there. Or I reckon in Trillick, they should have one wall for the elite writers. Only one wall. You don't touch that wall. The rest of the walls, you can muck around them. That's where they should have Trillick. So then it brings a standard up. But rare. One day I want to paint on that wall. It sets a standard.
Mm.
I mean, because I say graffiti writers today, it's why I know. I said, listen, why do they do the same outline every damn time?
I think it's like the safe space. Because
But
there's not a lot of places where you can paint full
stop. They do the same outline every time. I said, the colour schemes, let me say, the new writers, your colour schemes are off the chain. I love the way they colour
it. It's because they can because of the paint.
Writers now can't. They got no imagination with the letters, man.
Mm.
I said they do the same outline. I said that's not good. In our days, you do one piece, throw it away. It's never done again. Never repeat. But today, you're in an era where everyone repeats the same outline. Or it might be a little slightly different here, but it's the same outline. That's why graffiti. I've just come back into it here, and what I noticed, we are way, way behind Europe. When we left, when I was doing graffiti and we left, we was ahead. Mm. I mean, we were in the highest standard. Now most of the Europe countries, they're way ahead of us.
Here's a question for you. So, again, we were talking about this before you turned up. That might be a running thing. in terms of
we're talking battling, about it.
And
you need that.
And if you think about the Michael Jordan documentary, have you seen that on Netflix?
Yes, amazing.
It's the fact that he would make up slights to drive himself forward. And it made me think of Bunny.
You need that,
and Bunny was always of that mentality that a battle is going to push him, will push everyone forward.
Yeah.
So we were talking, I'm not going to give too much away. Now I'm implying there is something you don't know.
But we ain't going to talk about that on this
next
show.
Year, it's coming. Just remember that. Mm. Have they really got staying power? That's all you need to know. In all seriousness, if you think a battle is something that's going to... Maybe people have got too pally. And I'm not talking about slights and people having fights and arguments, because that's petty and that's drama llamas. We do not need drama llamas. If you're a drama llama, there's a phone number for you. 0800, go fuck yourself. But again, we're talking about potentially... you know, creating battles so you will push each other forward.
You have to need
create
that, right?
Good pieces of art. There's room for everyone, every different style.
Look,
but... listen,
yeah, because this is why I see it. I said, the way I look at graffiti now, I was like, their hand skills got amazing because the paint's much better, and that's good. Color schemes off the chain. I love the way they're filling the pieces. But I tell the artists, your letters should be. I'm mad about letters. I'm from the old school.
Yeah.
I want to see your letter style. I want to see something. I know I can go to a book. I can give me any word. Biro, I can outdo your name, your own name for you.
Their letters are shit?
Look,
your letters are shit. Do it.
Said, there's some bad boy writers in the UK, but the majority, because back in my days, everyone was doing high standard to compete against each other. The writers today, they're doing the same outlines. Back Subway Art letters. Not Subway Art filling, but Subway Art letters. Simple letters, mate. When I was writing them days there, them letters there, anything from Subway Art, we're looking to the future. So the writers today got to stop doing the same outlines. Not all of them, because there is some bad boy pieces I see on Instagram, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, but the majority of writers need to improve. If they, every year they should be improving. Every year I should see different letters, different words. Because I'm looking in Europe and there's like different So many pieces.
Europe,
man,
is mad. It's always been a hub for just progression of a scene.
I've just come back into the scene, and I'm like, why has it gone backwards a bit? To me, like, it's gone backwards. I'm like, the colour scheme's gone forward because, you know, the new paint, everyone's doing the colour scheme, but the letter style, the majority of the writers, not all of them, the majority. Because I have to look up, I'm looking at pieces on Instagram, only a few, I'm like, oh, I did a bad boy.
So here's a question for you, because, again, we were talking about this before you turned. Street art. Now, what's your view on that in terms of, you know, people painting portraits and doing stuff that isn't what you would necessarily call traditional graffiti? I've got a view on it.
We know this. But see, graffiti art now is non-existent. Graffiti art back in the day, we were vandals. We were criminals. Graffiti artists was criminals before. Now it's all legal aerosol art. I don't call it graffiti art. So I call it aerosol art. So there's room for everything, for artistic, for abstract. I love all that stuff. Graffiti writers.
This is why he's my boy. Yeah. He gets it. You can't cross your arms and say there isn't room for everything. There is room for everyone.
Before the rules, you couldn't use stencils and that kind of stuff. Now it's aerosol art. Mm. I don't call it graffiti art. It's aerosol art. Yeah, so graffiti art with vandals. Graffiti artists were criminals. There's still an element of that. You get a few guys doing the trains and the sidetracks, but the majority, like, it's all legal walls. There's no pressure. Like, the time has changed.
I'm kind of feeling like some of the new stuff that's coming on the trains is more exciting than the stuff that you're finding on the street.
Right. This is what I'm trying to say. What they do is what I see on trains, they're doing on walls. Nah, man. What you doing on the train? You can't be doing it on a wall. Oh, you got to take your time. I'm saying for UK artists to catch up to Europe, they need to bring some. They need to have a rule. Stop doing your throw up or your silver, as your same outline. They got to have a new set of rules now. No same outline twice. So then you have to do outlines, man. You have to, because I know a lot of guys don't do outlines. So it takes me a long time to do an outline. That's why they're lazy. I can do an outline. I can do 20 in a week.
Does this not then, if you sit there and start to think about it, that if people are just replicating stuff, and if, but then it comes down to why are they doing it? If you're doing it for fame and internet fortune and likes, go for your fucking life. You can paint in your back garden, put it on Instagram. No one knows where that wall is.
Yeah.
The picture goes up. If you want to be relevant in the graffiti scene, you need to be on trains, you need to be on track sides, and you need to be up. But it's down to what you want personally.
But trains are not
How do you get 15 minutes in the yards now?
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
You got to forget about trains. I mean, if you do trains, mate, you're doing it for the rush. It's not going to really run. You're not going to get the credibility, really. You're doing it for the rush. There's a big chance you're going to get criminal record. You know, the train era is out, is gone out the window. You know what I mean? I'll be honest, let me give you some joke. When in the 1990s, I think 95, I used to hate tags on the train. I used to hate seeing that shit. I mean, came to a normal. This is weird. I remember being on the train saying, fucking messing the train up, man. Everything's messy. That's how. So I understand how normal people see it, because I became that way. Like, what the fuck? I mean, just tags. You know what I mean? Because I didn't understand it. Just tags. No one doing no pieces. It was like a few. You know, it wasn't too much pieces going on. And when we left, a lot of the bombers kept going. So the bombers became the futuristic artists. But then obviously the way their mindset was like bombing. So they didn't push the art.
Which goes back to the school thing again.
Yeah. So you got to figure, 87. We're in 2020.
Mm.
We should have went. From where we left it, the scene should have elevated.
So they remain stagnant.
They went backwards.
But maybe you're right. I think, again, this brings on to, because we were talking about music and you being, you know, pretty big in the game. Yeah. But
Black Ops all day, come on.
Black Ops.
Original grime.
I try and pioneer. Everything I do, I try and pioneer.
Mm.
And that's what I did. See, look, the graffiti artists, because a lot of artists get it wrong. Like, I said, imagine this, right? Imagine now the UK graffiti artist. You know what? None of us are doing repeats. No one's doing repeats.
Can you imagine how much you would elevate?
How much you would elevate in 1 year, the graffiti scene.
Mm.
No one's doing repeats. Mm. No one. That means every time they're doing something, because you know what it is? They're just doing it for the gram now.
It comes back to that. If you thought about every piece you painted was a battle piece, then therefore you put that much extra, rather than almost becoming formulaic. It's almost like an alcoholic, that they're no longer drinking for the rush. They're drinking because it's become habit. So I'm just having a beer. So they just go out to paint, and it's very formulaic.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if we think about going to the next stage and what Johnny's talking about, and no longer are you just doing these kind of same pieces.
Yeah,
it's you therefore, I mean, do you do it almost like, so you create a group and every week that you want to paint, you're given another artist, and it's like, it then becomes a battle.
Oh, that's
so it's like, all right, I'm painting Saturday, who's in for the Saturday battle? And you're given a name, and when you turn up, you're given a word. And you have to then literally create an outline for a word there on the fucking day. I can't take complete ownership or credit for this, because Tizer did...
Hey,
Ed. No names. He did a word battle the other week. It has been going a while. But, I mean, is that not a way to maybe with the UK? Yeah. I mean, I'm fucked. My hands take ages. I do my pieces.
UK graffiti scene... People say, oh, you've been old school. Yeah, I'm old school. But when we left way ahead, bro. Remember, when we were doing our shit, everyone was doing Subway Art stuff. We were doing separate from that. It was always ahead. So that's 87. We're in 220 with the paint we got. Imagine if all the artists said, you know what, new outlines, everything fresh. The elevation of UK will go so far.
So when did you stop and why did you stop?
I tell you what, I stopped because...
Sorry, I'm doing your job for you. Hey,
I told you, man.
It's
wind him up.
Killer podcast. Listen, it's the Matt Holmes.
And it's a pleasure. Keep on going. I'm just here for...
Go with that.
I'm here for the popcorn, man. I'm here for the popcorn.
I can tell you why I stopped. I was in a piece in the pit. And someone sent me a photo. I did a piece in the small pit. So we did the Trinity Towers. And that was like, that was a battle. We just... Listen. We crushed all comers. They know who they are. I mean, I was a little youth. They got trashed. Their careers ended after it, yeah? All them London Giants, all them
fight
trashed.
Talk.
No, this is raw. Our piece stood for how many years? Nothing was even come near it yet. I was in McDonald's. Let me tell you how that all started first, yeah? Because people ask me that.
I thought you were digressing. All right, is that through old age? Right. Or the drugs, your painkillers?
Let me tell you now.
It's funny how you remember stuff.
Why did you stop? Speak up for the tape.
Why did I stop?
You can't handle the truth.
Right, tell you why I stopped, yeah? I was doing a piece in the pit. My last piece in the pit it was, yeah? And I got a photo. It's on my Instagram. You see it half finished. It would have been a burner as well, man. Jesus. I was coughing up blood. Because we didn't wear masks, innit? So... Actually, doing a piece, blood's coming out of my... Just coughing up blood. I said, no more. And I said, I put the cans there, no more. Because in that sort of period of time, I had problems with my lungs, coughing up blood and sometimes... But I was trying to... I'm okay. But I went to doctors twice about it. So when I was coughing up blood, actually in the pit, I said, nah, man. I put the cans down, walked away, never looked at it again.
Well, did it cure the ailments? Did it cure?
I stopped doing it. Because graphene, some of the paint... Them paints back in the day, they're like toxic, man.
Yeah.
Man, I sprayed in my bedroom. I painted in my bedroom non-stop.
So you slept, did it? And...
Man, I was non-stop. Man,
I remember it in my cellar as well. Literally, you, me and Roger, we were practicing
We're going in Saint's house. When his basement, I mean, painting in his basement. What house can you go in today and paint in someone's basement?
Actually, can we get into this, just in terms of different, you know, places? And I mean, you guys were very much Bakerloo, you know. You battered those lines. What was it like on the trains back in the day?
I remember the red trains. Remember the red trains?
I remember you could smoke. I used to smoke, and you could smoke. They had wooden floors. This is pre-King's Cross and the fire there. I went through there that day from college. I was at Back Hill, Farringdon, and I'd come through. But you could smoke on the trains. And there's some great pictures that have been appearing on the gram of the trains during that era and how... dark and dank and really quite oppressive they were, and claustrophobic.
You must have this joke. You know Maidenvale, yeah? Listen, the Maidenvale station, because I lived in Maidenvale, so every day went Maidenvale station. Every day went bombing the Bakerloo line. Every day. We never used to pay nothing, yeah? Go down. And the conductors, you call them? The ticket collectors?
Yeah, yeah.
They just see me non-stop come in and out. And I'm like, this guy never pays. Because we wait till he's gone and then walk through. You can do it them days.
They didn't care.
Yeah, but one day, you know the Bakerloo line, there was only certain stations where they had cameras and certain stations they never. But What was amazing with the Big Blue Line? The conductor will come downstairs and into the Big Blue Line onto the platform. See the station bombed. Just look around and just see us little kids there.
Here now, they installed a hidden camera at Maida Vale, and I was coming back from college, and little did I know that the camera was disguised as a speaker. And the two police were up in the office checking out the camera. I slapped some stickers up, I dropped a few tags, came out of the exit bit to go up the escalators and saw the two police running down with this station guard guy. So I darted back on the platform, ditched the pens and stickers, and then tried to bolt for it again. But I'm wearing Puma States, which is, I've said earlier.
Which is
it,
the they're
not the smartest shoes to run away. Yeah. And they grabbed me. And they said, so now it's rush hour. It's about 5:30.
Mm.
And I'm cuffed and being led up the escalators. One shoe in my hand because the other one came off. And
shit storm.
And it was just unfortunate that they were testing the camera out that time. So then they're sat in the office and they're saying, okay, so who's insane? So, oh, it's part of a crew. This was my initiation to join the insane crew.
Strong.
I was 16. I was like, yeah, this kind of sounds all right. So then they said, I went to Harrow Road Nick, which had a bad reputation anyway. But they were pretty cool there and set my court date. The day before court, I went to Golders Green Yards. And so now I'm in court. Kane came with me, and the policeman who arrested me turned up, and he was like, "All right, okay, yeah, we know all about Insane and Golders Green last night." So you suddenly thinking, so this is at that point, this is 87, I guess. They're now starting to build case files on people, which is why I created the tag In Two. I had to stop in doing Insane for a while.
Yeah,
so anything like proper bombing. It was like, all right.
It was short as well, quick and short. It's smart. Yeah,
and six letters was too big, which when I started that in 85, Insane was too long. So you think
Wiki tag,
In
though.
Two. Yeah. And I stole Casby's Z and turned it into a two. He hated me then. Please don't hate me now, Casby.
Let me give you some joke, Wesson. The one guy you do not want to go bombing with, who don't give a F about no one.
Time?
No, phone.
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 Yeah, listen, let me tell you, listen. Phone, we got phone, yeah. Phone the rascal, right? Listen, whenever you go out of phone, prepare to get chased, prepare to do something that you not normally do by yourself. You've been a train, ram. This is a no lie, Metropolitan, ram, rush hour, sardine can. Here, actually, move the person out of the way, right phone. The person say, "Oh, your phone. This is a ram carriage, rush hour." He would just bomb. Non-stop.
See, that's some status shit right there. I'm going to get up to show you who I am.
Listen, I'll tell you another story. Another mad world phone. Me and Form on the sidetracks, Labatt Grove. This is our phone with nuts. He got one big plank of wood, put it across the track, Westbourne Park.
So he could walk across?
We could have killed hundreds of passengers. The train nearly come off the line.
He just threw it on before the train came?
He put on the... You know where the... Where it had the big Rich Silver on the Westbourne Park.
Yeah.
Right. We'd go there, put the wood across the tracks, the train would stop, we'd run up to the train,
then
throw up,
time to
and dust. Stop a moving train.
Do you remember when he tried to join... Someone sent me a picture of a piece I did on near Hackney Steps. Do you remember when they had the billboards there along the canal? And it had Insane as a Toy, this piece of shit, and it was all signed by Foam. And I was thinking, why was he so angry? And then it reminded me, and there's someone else as well... He wanted to join No Limits, and you, Roger, and Saga said, "We're not telling you, need to tell him." You he was our school friend, you need to tell him.
I don't remember that one, boy.
And Russ as well. Remember, Russ tried to join.
No, right.
Jefferson, God rest his soul.
Let me give a bad joke about Jefferson. Who knows about Rush? Rush was the original Tupac and Juice. That's who Rush
for
was.
For real?
Listen, we was in Gloucester Yard. Is that how bad he was?
You used to have a hammer on him all the time.
We were in Gloucester Yard, bombing the yard. There's me, Time. Everyone was there at the time. Gunja, everyone was there. He was there, bombing across the yard. Where I'm putting big R's and Riches, he'll cross out the Rich and put USH in front of me in the yard. And listen, when we burgled the CJ Graphics store, three weekends in a row.
That's Time's drawing off it. Allegedly.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I put all the butt legs in my shed. Yeah,
allegedly.
And he robbed my shed because next minute you see him rush throw up some Grove in Buntleck, and he never had Buntleck. See, but I couldn't tell him nothing because he was like the graph bully. There was bigger graph bullies, but he was a graph bully. He robbed all my bunk like from my shed.
You guys were like some heavy rackers as well. You were telling us a story beforehand about your rooftop having nothing but...
That was from the CJ Graphics. We did it.
Times Drawing Office.
It was CJ Graphics.
No, it wasn't. It was Times Drawing Office.
Is it?
Yeah.
Above the Samantha's Nightclub, I remember it.
No, yeah, it was right off.
Let it be known, ladies and gentlemen, I am living vicariously through you right now. This is just a joy. Do you know what I mean?
Alleyway.
Yeah.
We're talking about some of the most iconic moments in graph history.
Times Drawing Office.
I can't compete.
I promise you, I used to work there. Allegedly, I used to sort of work.
Anyway. Back in the day also, you used to have the Allied building, Kilburn. That would be where you'd practice.
Allied carpets. Yeah, because we was obviously going to St. George's School. That was like, because remember, we saw state of art pieces and non-stop pieces all over the gaff. And we're big fans of theirs. And then imagine, we used to see them paint so much.
And then we met them. I'm kidding.
We're big fans of this, right? But we're little kids. You've got to think, we're toddlers. Compared to, because when you're 13, or no, when you're 13, 14.
He was really little and cute.
So imagine, when you got,
I reckon he eats small children.
when you're 16, you know, you imagine school, when you're 16 years old, someone that's 13 is a kid to you.
Mm-hmm.
So we was kids in the graffiti scene.
Mm.
So no one even knew who we really was. Because who are these guys? But we're doing the big business. Mm. We're doing the big burners, but no one knows who we are. And we just follow him around, doing the pieces here, and we just watched him. And then one day he goes, oh, who are you? So we said who he was, and we said, well, showed him a piece we did. He goes, hey, you look all right still. But he goes, yeah, that's the way he goes, yeah, you look all right still. Yeah, you've got some talent.
You've got some potential in that arc.
We built an incredibly close infinity. Yeah. With the Earth's Edge, but I mean...
Let's get into Earth's Edge. Because that really was what definitive. That for me is what made it a Hall of Fame when you guys went and done that.
But Allied Carpets was the pre-training ground for Earth's Edge. Because we was painting, I think, all that 87, we was painting all the Trillic Towers. Allied Carpets. That was state of arts. There was their ground.
Mm.
Because we started rolling around with them, we painted.
They introduced us to that, didn't they?
They brought us there. I said, well, there was pieces there by KGB. Some guys from Europe, I mean, the pieces are very good, man. Yeah, the KGB. And then we used to go there. I mean, that was Pikeys used to live there, and they used to leave the nappies, man.
The rats and the nappies and the eggs and all that.
We'll be doing pieces where there's rats running around your feet, and there's mountains of nappies and canned beer and doo-doo and whatever could be left by humans was left in this place. It's the most derelict, run-down place of all. But it was classic times. State of Art, Saga, Insane, Rage, Me, Max. We should go there. You just go there randomly and someone would be painting. Just turn up there, someone's painting on the wall. You know what I mean? So that was like a practice ground. And it was, we just going to every single wall. I remember that.
Did you go when we went up to Sunderland and Scam?
I didn't go that. I didn't go that one.
And we got a coach up for Trouble Funk were over and they were filming a video for, I think, The Word. Yeah. Remember The Word?
Of course, yeah.
Remember The Word? And so we literally, the coach took 7 hours and they'd never seen black folk up there.
Mm.
So this coach rolled in and I think I must have been the only white face and, well, Scam technically is not white. We got off the coach, hit this hardware store, like Rob Payne.
You look mad. You had some bad boy paints, remember? Yeah.
And
heard like that. You look terrorized.
They just weren't ready.
Well, we did a paint. Robbing trip to Canterbury as well.
I missed that one. Yeah.
And we found Rusto and Case Spray and everything. But this and we painted this piece for The Word. So if you ever watch the Trouble Funk, We're Still Smoking, in the video, it's this derelict ground. You can kind of see AD and Scam kind of still painting.
Do you think that's on YouTube or something?
Yeah, it's there. I mean, you can't make anyone out, but it was a long coach ride journey for like 2 hours of hanging around, doing a bit of painting, a bit of racking, and then home again.
That's crazy. The Earth's Edge as a piece has been in films. Just to reiterate what I initially said, it was kind of, for me, we were talking about whether Trellick is defined as a Hall of Fame at the moment, but Earth's Edge... Because I would agree that before Earth's Edge, it wasn't that place.
No.
Yeah, but then it made it.
Yeah, what it was, imagine this, right? I knew about that pitch because I used to play football in there, right? But it never came to my mind to do anything in there because the pit was always painted in the pit, yeah?
Mm. Which is just down the road, and it made
it. Yeah, none of the writers even knew about that place. I knew about it because I used to go fishing with my uncle. So I knew about it, and I said, go in there and play football. So to me, it was like, but I didn't think it's in an estate. So I don't think you're allowed to do graph in there. Mm. I thought, well, this, we're going to get Nick doing it. So what happened? Just the Earth's Edge story, what I remember, I was in Covent Garden. I'll give you some the start of it. We was in Covent Garden. And remember, we're the youths. Me and Rage are small. Compared to you lot, we're the toddlers. Mm-hmm. I remember, yeah, but no, he's older than us. Like, when you're 13, 14, someone's 16, there's a big age difference.
They were both very cute and little.
So we've been Covent Garden. Oh, and I remember that there was an argument going on, yeah?
Yeah.
With State of Art and London Giants and blah, blah, blah. And all I remember as a youth was getting McDonald's. And I remember saying,
Charing Cross.
Yeah, Charing Cross. And I remember saying, yeah, we're battling. So the bunny looked at me, he goes, get your shit together. We're battling. That's what you told me.
Oh, right? My God.
Right? So, because I wasn't there with the conversation because it's big men talking. We're little kids. And London Giants ain't looking at me like I'm a graffiti writer. They're looking at me, who's this little kid? But they're not knowing what I'm doing on the walls.
About to go and have it, yeah.
So I remember Covent Garden, there was a big dispute. So it's funny, we went racking. 2 weeks straight, we went racking everywhere. Every home style case, break store, dupe colour, went racking. I remember we was going hard in. Anyway, I said, Bunny, listen, we need to find a big wall. The pit's too small, we want to do something major. I said, I know a wall, but let me test that out first. I bought some White Emotion, painted two walls. No one said nothing. I said, if no one says nothing, this should be okay then.
Mm-hmm.
Painted two more walls. I said, Bunny, I walked out, I brought Bunny and Kane down to the wall. I said, yo, man, this, because no one's seen a wall this big. They said, well, how are we going to do the wall? How are we going to fill it? I said, I'll do 3-4 burners. We had 2 pieces. I said, but Bunny goes, no, we need about 6. You need about 6. I had to go back, outlines. And he goes, this is a massive wall. If we pull this wall off, it's going to be classic. So we kept it quiet, yeah? We kept it quiet.
I've got goosebumps right now. This is killing me.
We kept it quiet. Now, when we were doing Trillet Towers, Foam knew about it. I think Crash knew about it. You know, we were wrecking, and then we started doing the wall. And when Bunny put the character up, he said, whoa, yeah. We started, the pieces start coming along. And then we started doing different stuff. We're putting abstract, rocks in front of the piece and all that kind of stuff. We start pushing the new boundaries. I said, yo, this wall's coming along. Then I think Crash or Seas, we knew they came down because they saw the tags on the floor. So someone leaked out the wall to them, yeah? And they come down. And the man said, told the man, forget it, man. No one's competing with this wall. They come down, we saw the tags. That was it. They're like,
someone
someone come down and saw, we saw tags on the floor. Someone saw it and then it got back to them and said, yeah, forget it. And that's why the wall was never finished. Once we got told, forget it. We stopped. That's why we left some bits of the wall unfinished.
Some of it was still there, like up until about 5 years ago. The only other wall that competed with that, and it wasn't a battle, was, and it was probably about 5 years later, and was my good friends Prime, Doze, and PIC when they did the Stay in Power piece.
I'll type PIC,
and
Prime.
And literally, you've had Master Prime on.
It'll be out before.
Arguably, you need to speak to Doze because...
I'd love to.
Jet 97, mm-hmm. It's the re-emergence of WRH. They are back with a vengeance. But Stay in Power was the only other wall that took up the side. Because if you look at, you had the big wall here, and then the other slightly smaller wall was Stay in Power, which was in the 90s. They apparently had to cut all the vegetation back, which is why the Earth's Edge stayed there for so long. The top pieces were literally there until 5 years. You could still see your pieces 5 years ago.
Wow.
So, I mean, maybe watch this space.
Mm. But that Earth's Edge, that pushed us to a level. We said we went to a level. And obviously, me, Rage, Kane, State of R, we said, let's go back and we're to go back and do it again. If we go back and do it again, we even do something better. But Interest Graffiti was more or less gone because we battled the major groups to come out. There was no more competition. So the enthusiasm disappeared and then we got into the music. But doing that wall was, I remember it to today, even going to if you go to Trillet Towers now, when you go to Trillet Towers, you go down the hill, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the right, you're in the graffiti space, yeah? But to the left, there's all industrial slots.
That's right.
That was a bakery.
Really?
You robbed the fresh bread in the morning.
Robbed the fresh bread for the whole week. Yeah, robbed the fresh bread. I remember that. Never forget that.
Wow.
I'm not sure why I thought of robbing bread because that's not really me. I don't know. Don't condone that.
Baked bread, baby.
There was one young boy. I saw Rage in my house a few last month sometime. He gives me, who's the young boys that hang around with us? So funny enough, it's weird how energy in the world gets mixed up. That following weekend, I met some chick from the music scene, and she was a friend of what's that rapper's name now? Betty Boo. It was Betty Boo's.
Shit.
Betty
Boo's little brother. Yeah. It was a little brother. He's a taxi driver now. He used to write as well.
The little brother was the little guy teething the bread for us in the bakery.
What did he write, though?
Latimer Road. I can't remember his name. There's some stock Covent Garden pictures, and he's in a few of them. Again, we were all talking about this, that there are a lot of graph nerds that... have to be internally, eternally, yeah. My word's right, grateful for, because we ran around painting not to take pictures or selfies, or although I'm guilty of that. But it was more about having these kind of moments of chaos and fun and just really enjoying yourself. But thankfully, people like Fade 2, Steam...
all the terrible, yeah. Big up the TU massive, yeah.
Big up the man, of course.
They were the ones that have documented this. That 35 years on, or whatever it is, have allowed all these pictures to emerge that we can post. Look, there's me when I was 17, and you get these memories back. Mm. So,
you had a lot of photographs. You are,
yeah. What can I say? I was photogenic. I still am that.
But I also remember one thing
about West is best.
Labrador Grove, right? Everyone knows. You could just go like Labrador Grove was known for being you go there with your cameras, you're gonna get robbed.
Mm. It's the pit. Yeah, so you don't do it.
And at one point when they first brought out the train squad, the feds, some kind of anti graffiti squad. I remember when they first brought out the anti graffiti squad. We're beating Labrador Grove by under the flyover, by Westbourne Park, in between Westbourne Park and Labrador Grove train station. Right? We'll all be there just chilling. The train will go by, you see 100 flashes, taking pictures of all the graffiti riders.
Crazy.
Do you remember Wayne, Rio 2? We were all hanging around in there was a five-a-side football pitch, milling about as you did, and this train has gone by, and hanging off the back of the train was Rio 2. Wait, and he's just like literally one-handed waving as he goes by, because literally where the platforms to Grove, Latimer Road, and Westbourne Park were quite similar to what you saw in New York.
Yeah,
they're quite
that's
open.
That's right.
So where the trains pulled in, you could stand at the end of the platform,
jump on,
and then jump on the back, and then when it pulled into Westbourne Park, you just jump off, no bother. But it took you over the bridge, which goes over Portobello, and then all alongside where all the alcoves were, where you could paint, and then the five-a-side football pitch, which is the skateboard park now, I think, and where we used to kind of mill about. It was artistically or photographically, it was perfect. It had that urban decay, New York, which we all strive for at that time, that kind of bombed out Bronx-y feel, which you kind of strive to be, because you wanted to be near your heroes in New York. I mean, thankfully, it's a bit like if you think about rap in the UK, everyone started rapping with American accents just because they wanted to be like their heroes.
I'll touch on the noise as well before we go further.
But then the guys, you know, Johnny including Son of Noise, they moved it on, and then suddenly English rappers were rapping in English. You think about Roots Maneuver, and there's that kind of almost Jamaican patois and a bit of Cockney.
Demon Boys, exactly.
That they suddenly, we started to find, and the same with graph and fashion, we found our own feet and we started to create our own culture, which, and if you think about grime, technically, one of the real godfathers
For those who don't know, I'm the one who started that bullshit, man. I don't know bullshit, but I'm the one who started that scene.
I'm with you.
All them, man, they're famous now. They went way after me, man. I was going to do your research.
Making the beats. The supply. The prototype. The template.
Created the template for it, which moved it on.
I was anti-American stuff. I want to do our own scene. So I started, you know what I mean? I said, when I was doing that music, I was saying to the record shop, this is the future. The kids below me, this is their future. And they never understood it, and 2 years later on.
This was like that Channel U, wasn't it? Channel U was the portal that allowed beats of yours, even precursor of Channel U, but that was really you had those MCs spitting on those beats that people just didn't know where it came from.
Man, we had that. Not, we was advanced. Our sound was way ahead. Way ahead. I mean, music from them days there, people still play today. They can't even emulate it. I even got asked, how do you make them bass lines?
People, do you want me to tell you, Killer Keller podcast does not fuck about, we know the history in this place. We don't look around here.
Yeah, so pioneer of UK
I'm
tone music.
Deaf. and that's not my rap name either.
But if we go back to the old days, man, I mean, man, I must pick up time. Time.
Yeah.
Listen, this guy, he was the alcoholic bomber. A Tenants and a marker pen. He bombed everywhere, but he was always drunk, man. Always drunk.
Bakerloo. All day.
I remember going to Bakerloo,
My mum used to see him in the park.
Bakerloo. It's like tipsy. Bakerloo reminded me of like cockroaches that come out at night time. Like, you know, when no one's around, the cockroaches come out. Because I've been a station platform and wait for everyone to leave. You know the station, you go off the train. You get off the train, you pretend to walk up the escalator and you double back. You know the routine, yeah? You wait by the sidewall. And as you come out, as you know, you sort of time it well, as everyone's gone up, let's clear up, you go back on the platform. I've done that a few times when I've gone on the platform and then I've bumped into writers doing exactly the same thing. That's how I met Flyboy from London Giants. That's how I met Time as well.
What?
I remember who I met? Fly 44, Buff. I must have a guy, Buff. Is it Buff? Fly 44, Mass.
Well, Mass as well.
Mass.
Buff. He was one of the first to,
massive marker.
He used the, the chalkboard rubber that you get at school. And massive. Literally, he managed to do this massive tax. Yeah. But that was the innovation. You're thinking 15-year-old kids.
We have to, yeah.
And the small little pilot pens where you'd snap the top off, and then you'd put a bit of foil at the bottom, wrap foil around it, and use the kind of filter that was inside. Stick up about the felt for about that much, and the lid would still go on. And then you had these pens that then would go a bit flare out, and they were that big.
I used to get hair gel jugs, hair gel containers, take all the hair gel out, put a sponge inside, shoot ink.
Yeah, DOs as well. The plastic DOs
for the buses.
You'd remove so you could create these these were the mops of the 80s, and kids learning how to freeze chemistry right here, learning how to freeze paints so you could then transfer it into another can and make your own colours.
Yeah,
where you couldn't get pink or purple or violet or lilac or whatever it was. People were learning how to mix, making their own caps.
But isn't that part of the fun of it all?
Yeah, man.
It was.
See, nowadays, thing, right? Everything's given to you.
It's on a plate.
Like, even like music, I say, like...
And fashion.
Yeah, like...
It's on the internet. Instagram, I want that. Internet's good. Boom, it's delivered the next day.
There's nothing... You don't appreciate nothing no more. Like, I call it the microwave era. Everything's easy cooked, fast.
Disposable. Like,
yeah, it's disposable. So never has no staying power.
People ain't got the interest for anything power. That has
another
anymore.
Shout out to WRA. Yeah, owe me a pint of Guinness Doze.
It's like you can't create legends no more because nothing is long lasting.
But here's the problem is people haven't got the attention power for somebody that is trying to do something individual. You know, it takes a lot of repetition because what you're doing is so different and isn't on the market that someone could, if they can't have it themselves and they don't want it. That is another factor.
It's too easy to get. I mean, you think about all the stuff from the States, whether it was the Double Gooses or
Philly Blunts.
Or different colour pumice states. I mean, State of Art and I used to use markers and change the colours of the ones you could get here.
Oh, yeah, I remember. It was a dive. Yeah, when it rained.
Yeah. You were a little bit fucked. They were a summer shoe.
I remember that. I did exactly that. I got the green one, put the marker
pen
on
there. Your socks would change
when it rained. Oh, my God. I remember I spray paint my shell tops. I spray painted them pastel blue with the Posca pens with the pink straps.
Do you remember when?
But they were all right because they don't crack too hard.
They done me good for a good while, man. Yeah.
Do you remember when we went to Hammersmith to see Run DMC? And I think it was about 85, and that's when steaming first appeared.
Listen, that's no Public Enemy came on. This is let me give you some joke. Like, this ain't a racist thing or none of that, but none of us knew. What they were telling us on the stage, as black folks, never knew none of this stuff. So this is a weird situation. I remember this. Public Enemy come on. Talking about our history. And the way they were talking in the beginning, it was like abrupt. There was no compromise. It was raw. So like, you'll be a black guy looking at it. The white guy like,
It's true.
This is no word of a lie. You'd be like, and you'd have hate for the other, any white guy that you don't know, the ones you know, they're cool. But the ones you don't know, they're getting robbed. This was the outcome. I mean, after that...
On the train, on the way back, people...
On the way back, it was brutal. Man, the trains got battered,
but you think that was an education and a wake-up call, not just for black people, but for white people. Thanks to Public Enemy, I didn't know who Malcolm X was. I've read that biography about three or four times. They educated. They stepped away from that violent rap, which was giving you nothing... To this educational, but I think.
But
John
how
was scary? Right,
but how? Listen, that train on the way back.
Yeah, people lost a lot of stuff.
I mean, it's funny.
I was going to walk in behind, apologising as they were robbing.
Aaron Robin, enough people's trains got taken. I remember all the Lesson Grove lot, all the steam crew. Everyone that was white was getting robbed on the way back because the anger that Public Enemy put in us.
They leased
the anger and it didn't tame us. We went out of that rave.
There was no outlet. It was just what you knew.
That rave. I'm mixed race. So I used to went home to my parents and say, "Mum, I don't know none of this stuff. Like, I didn't know. I was saying, "Mum, no, I don't like white people." That's how confused I was. I don't like white people. You're nice, but I don't like white people. What they done to us? I was like, my mind was effed up for a bit.
Wow.
But that's our Public Enemy. That when they came over here, that chat, the way on the train ride on the way home, people know. People, you can if you interview people, say. Who went to the Public Enemy concert? Ask them how they got home. It was notorious. There was
that's literally where the term steaming came from.
Steam, yeah, train jam.
From that, and the other one was Ultramagnetics at Camden.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, where they bum rushed the back door, and CS gas was let off in there.
What Onyx Hammersmith? The whole place got robbed. The whole street, shopping centre got robbed, smashed. Onyx.
Where was this?
Onyx Hammersmith.
Hammersmith.
Yeah, when Onyx
Hammersmith
came.
Hammersmith Apollo.
Yeah, when Onyx came, it was riots, man.
But the whole
riots, man. Like these are certain things where London went off. Fuck. But like them days, then because of the internet, it just made it's made
everything vanilla.
I go back. I look on YouTube, right? I must be like a crazy person. My friend goes, "Why are you watching old trains?" Like sometimes I type in New York trains, 1984, just because I went to New York in 1988. And I saw the train.
I need to get into this actually. Yeah, because you guys actually did go out to. You went out with Bunny, right? You guys wanted to. You were kind of like the first people to go out there and actually buck with them. Yeah. Those characters. Yeah. Talk to me about that.
Oh, just after the Edge, we're going. To, you know, we finished doing graffiti. So we said, look, let's go to New York next year.
Mm.
Save our money up. And I remember my mum said to me, "You need to get a job. If you get a job, I'll pay you to go to New York." I mean, 14, 15. I remember I worked in Burger King. I see Cookie Crew coming in, and they knew me. I remember when I saw Cookie Crew come walking into the bar of Burger King, I left Burger King that day. Never went back. So went to New York.
He did me. Penny for the guy outside Maid of Valley.
I was old school. Yeah. So it was in New York. It was me, State of Art, Rage, and a couple of old friends from the area.
Fun go with you too.
No, but I'm going to get to that. So we're in New York. Yeah,
crazy. Crazy.
Let me tell you, the first situation getting off the New York train, I'm all dressed in some English kind of smooth clothes. So a young kid walked up to me and said, "Man, you're going to get robbed, you nigga." I looked at Bunny and said, "Listen, I'm buying clothes fitting in today." So I bought a cap, T-shirt. I said, this shit's real. Remember, 88, this is real
Times
New York.
Times Square was rough then, wasn't it?
This is real, So we're in New York now. Imagine I get on a subway train. So I'm on a subway train, it's all bombed. I'm seeing Cold Crush Dukes. On every line, Cold Crush Dukes, foam, Cold Crush Dukes. Remember, and I've stopped. We stopped graffiti by now. Yeah, we stopped. Remember? So we after the Earth Edge, we quit. Remember, so the following year. So I'm not doing graffiti anymore. But I'm in New York. I'm seeing Cold Crush Dukes on every line. I'm like, what? This is going nuts. Anyway, so we knew he's in New York. Anyway, we knew he's in New York. So you know, seeing in the New York trains in the New York trains in them days there. It was like we caught the end
of it,
the end of the last of the original trains because they were
that golden era.
Yeah, because they had the chrome ones coming in, but you saw the red trains. I mean, trains were scary, man. You used to see the guardian angels. They were everywhere.
Really?
Yeah, they all wearing red bandanas, red hats.
That shit would have scared, intimidated anybody.
They were walking through, like protecting the people. Wow. The trains were bombed. I mean, that's a.
Can you imagine that?
I love that.
It's sterile now.
When I went there,
car underground.
To me, that was my best vacation ever. I couldn't believe I'm in New York. I'm in Subway Art. I thought it was a dream to me. And then, you know, about a week later into the holiday, we go to Henry Chauvin's office. I remember going to the office,
It's too much.
I remember going to the office and looking at all the trains. There was so much. You know the big, because I've got photos on my Instagram where you see me opening the folders, me and Mass, looking at the folders.
Mass went with you as well?
Mass was there as well.
Why the fuck did I not go?
Where's the memo?
I think you
need to email back then.
I'm blaming it on drugs.
I think it wasn't allowed.
See, I was 2 years older than him, and I wasn't allowed. Poor old whitey here, they wouldn't have washed.
So remember, we're there, looking at all the photographs of Henry Chalmers, please. And it goes, we said, there's phone being there. He goes, yeah, phone was there. Phone actually stayed there for a few days in Henry Chalmers' office. But then he said one of the guys that was from Europe robbed something from his gallery. So Henry said, look, no more, can't stay here no more.
Ah, shit.
So we was in the Bronx somewhere, 166, some train. Oh, imagine this. God must have sent phone to us. We got off the train. We see phone. I see somebody walking towards us. It looks like phone. Fucking, imagine the whole New York train system. How do you happen to be in the same train station as us at this particular time?
It's called serendipity, my friend.
So we met from New York. That's how it works. And then, met from New York. And then, mad history. I mean, that was a wicked holiday, man. And New York...
How long were you there for?
We was there for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And we all Delancey Street, all... Because I went up...
That's where you get the gooses down there, wasn't it?
What's so strange is, that 88 was the heyday of New York, you know, the heyday of the music scene. And everything you saw in the music, you know... Fulton Street, Albert Square Mall, Delancey Street, Canal Street. We went all the places. We lived there. It was wicked. And New York, that's how I saw New York. I went back there a year later. Gone.
Showing difference. Yeah.
I said, what? Gone. Graff was gone.
It's over.
It was like, I said, how did they clean it in one year? Gone, zero.
Weirdly, if you go there now, although it's a bit like Shoreditch, it's sterile in terms of it's safe for ordinary folks.
No culture, though. No culture.
I mean, literally, you know, you can go up into the Bronx, into Harlem, or over into Brooklyn, and the graph in and the kind of it, as I said, it looks like Shoreditch, but it's safe. It's lost its edge, and I think that comes back to the internet. You know,
they killed
talk
it,
about music. And art and fashion, and where you had to literally hunt stuff down, digging crates for music and fashion. But now you literally go online and your favorite rap star is wearing a new piece by Supreme. It's a collab with Stone Island, and you literally click on this link to buy
it's
it now, or
thing.
Queue outside to Supreme shop for 7 hours having got a ticket. Or if you want sneaks now, it's like, limited edition sneaks. You can join the get a lottery ticket, and you may or may not get the chance to buy that. Fuck off!
Yeah,
it's the ability to dress yourself now and look unique has fucking gone. We're all lamenting the loss. Everyone laments the loss of their youth.
We have to fight. We fight for this. This is the individuality, and you know the non-judgment of that. You know, we have to really fight for that as human beings as much as culturalists.
It's everyone's like sheep now, man. It's like, yeah, man, look, the internet's messed up a lot of stuff, man.
It's good and it's bad. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing,
Because there was no control on the internet, that's why it's messed up a lot of stuff, because everyone's taken for granted. You don't appreciate nothing that was going on.
But it's evolution. We were talking about evolution before we met up with Rich, there is something of... It's an organism. It keeps on moving. You pass the gauntlet on. It's natural progression.
You have to accept it. I mean, nothing. It doesn't stand still, and you can't stay in the past. Which comes back full circle to your point about people just doing the same outline again and again, and how we've not moved on.
We've got to stress this. Yeah, graffiti artists in London, not the 10% that's doing their stuff. They're doing some futuristic stuff, amazing. But the 90%, come on, man. Is there a new rule now, man? Nothing twice.
See the rules again already.
No. We need to bring back the original graffiti rules. Nothing twice done. The only thing you've done twice.
Rules. There should be no rules.
No, they shouldn't be doing the same outline.
Let's adhere to the chaos theory.
You should not be doing the same outline more than twice. They're doing it non-stop.
I love the disparity here of no rules, Sin City Chaos, and rules.
Some rules. No rules.
Because you know, you've got to look at it. If you want the UK scene to evolve, they need to keep drawing.
Get your comments on below. Tell us what you guys.
You need to keep drawing. Your outlines need to go like, right. It's like, look. This is full graffiti writers. If you brought your book down, your black pad down today, I should be able to flip that page and see 52 styles. But I can guarantee you, most writers, same outline, but 52 colours. Colours, 52 different filling styles.
There's, someone was saying that, people hide behind their colour schemes and fills, and it's not about the.
They do.
Sometimes I don't adhere to that because I love a good fill. And no, I understand what you're saying. I completely and utterly get it. I've nicked fonts. I've fucked around with different. I have done 52 styles, maybe because I can't find my own style. I don't know.
But this is where it puts it. You're saying that you get the fonts, yeah? But save us on with the rules there where you couldn't do fonts. You'll be doing your own insane letters right now.
I've got loads. Well,
yeah, but what I'm trying to say, they're not very good. But I'm saying to you, majority graffiti writers.
True.
No, but the thing is, majority graffiti writers. I mean, I see the same thing, but coloured in different. I can't understand why they do the same outline twice. I can't, because it's like, can't they do any other outlines?
It's just the brand aspect of it.
But brand your silver. Your brand is your silver. Your outline, your art. It's supposed to be. Come on, man! You don't see artists drawing the same building. They draw different objects. Not the same building. You don't see timber castles the same thing, different colours. Why has our UK scene become stagnant? Where imagine I made the music, I made the one beat all day long, with a different MC on it.
Arguably, there's a certain artist who painted some lilies, and I think he may have painted the lily painting more than once or twice or three times.
But come on, insane. Graffiti, right?
I know.
I'm from the
pulling your leg.
Man, if you're doing an outline, it should be like a tag. Your tag is the same everywhere you go, but your art should be different every time. Every time you do a piece of art on the wall, it should be different, a different outline. They need to bring the rule in, man. If we want to catch up to Europe.
No, I think you have to caveat that is it come again. What I've said, it's about what you're doing it for. If you want the respect of your peers, then maybe you needed to adhere to this. If you actually don't give a fuck and you're happy doing the same thing, then go do the same thing. People are allowed, as you pointed out earlier, to paint what the fuck they want, but they're not going to get your respect.
Yeah, no. We want to be ahead. We want to catch up to Europe. Me as a newcomer looking in, I'm like, wow, look at these men in Spain and blah, blah, blah. Look at their mad burners.
So why did you come back? This is a good
question. This is big history, right? Obviously, I'm in the music business, yeah? Right? For those who don't know...
I think you mentioned that before.
I don't know mention the guy's name.
He's in the mix.
I'm going to mention the guy's name because it's kind of bait. But anyway, someone in the music industry... His name is Catch, yeah? But he's very big in the music industry. So, all right, I'm going to say his name because we can blow it up. But Catch the graffiti, right? Because it's a graffiti problem. Yeah, Catch, he's the guy who got me back into the
cast. To you, Catch.
Yeah, okay, Catch, yeah. Okay. So what it was now, we was in Iron Napa in 2002, right? This is a mad joke. So when Iron Napa did a show, and we're in Kentucky. We're doing some, late night at Kentucky. And I remember he was doodling on the paper. It's like, you do that graffiti shit? He goes, yeah. I said, I should do that. And I wrote my name. He goes, what? Are you rich? I said, yes. That's when I was a kid, man. So remember, I looked at that when I was a kid. But this guy, Catch, was doing graffiti. Like, it was like a full thing to him. So he knew all the history. He goes, I should follow you around, blah, blah, blah. But we know each other as music people, but he never knew, a.k.a. as rich as me.
Crazy.
So imagine, I'm rolling around with him for 2 or 3 years doing music, hearing it everywhere. He's doing graffiti, but not knowing that. Because he said to me, you're my idol. I said, follow you around. Your shit, I had to idolise your shit. Not knowing who I was in the graffiti world. It's like, that's how he met me in the graffiti world. He knew me as, Johnny Cash. Mm-hmm. So years go
so
by.
So is there a theme there? I mean, you think about it. Johnny Cash is his kind of stage name.
I was going to say Rich
is really. And Rich is his tag name. So there is a link to... Would you happen to be obsessed with wealth and money,
more money.
Was this a subconscious
thing? More money.
Do you need to lie on the couch and we'll talk about it?
This is your therapy right here.
So what happened then? So last year, I mean, every now and again, I think Pulse, big up Pulse.
I hope Pulse.
He did some kind of gathering in 2000... I don't know what it was.
That's an unsung dude, man.
Yeah, he's a bad boy. Yeah, Pulse. Oh. Can't control. Oh my crazy. God. Man, serious, yeah? Man, serious. Be up Pulse, yeah, for real. He did a few graffiti things. I did one or two pieces from 87 to 2015. I think the two. Pulse put me out. So, but 2018, Catch, because I know Catch is through the music. So I know Catch for 20-something years, but via music, by his other name. He kept, oh, come on, man, come and do something. So he took me down to Trillick to do a silver. And I just did a silver. He goes, wow, you just did the silver off your head like that. So, yeah. So when I did that silver once, I thought, oh, I'm kind of getting the bug back. And then I started doing outlines. And he kept pestering me, man. Come on, man, come on, get back into it. Because he got me back. He honestly got me back into graffiti. So big up Catch. He's the one who got me back into it.
So now we...
Oh, yeah, and you used to have a few meetings, didn't it? Them kind of graph meetings along.
Well, I try and drag him out. Yeah. And because Rage was kind of painting again and he stopped. Well, Roger, you need to get back
out. No, he's back
out.
On it. He's back
You're
on
back
it.
On it. We yeah. are. We have got the crew back together. Obviously, minus Saga, rest in peace. Uh-huh. We're going to replace him with some guests. Catch being one of them.
Yes.
He's stepping into the breach.
Hey, don't be saying so much. With the whole deal.
Oh, yeah. Oh yep. Shit. Yeah. Loose lips sink ships. Snitches get stitches.
That's going to get re-edited, that one.
Don't go nothing.
but he basically got me back into the graffiti thing. Now, when I got back into it now, obviously now I'm looking at this new paint. I'm looking at what people are doing on the internet. I'm like, fuck, man, how they doing it? Come on, I'm from the old school where the paint's different. So I'm actually watching, how are they doing that on the wall? I'm saying, rad.
That's cold, yeah.
I said, the graffiti now, graffiti art, is turned to our art now. Because, the graffiti writers today, you know, their filling-ins, I'm like, man, I wish I could do that right. I wish I could. I'll get there next year. Give me about 10, 15 pieces. I'll be back to normal. But the way you're not filling your pieces in, even the guys who just start, man, filling in is perfect. So I'm watching on the internet, looking to all these different artists, and I'm thinking, damn. What? Then I look at all the guys that I respected here, I'm thinking, but they're only doing that. That I do close my eyes, like the outlines and stuff. Filling in, I can't fill in nowhere as good as these cats because I haven't been painting that long. All right? And there's another point I want to make. When I was painting, I was painting them big boy burners when I'm 14 years old. Not a man, 14. Yeah? And we're using the most bullshit paint. And it's another thing I want to mention. We elevated in a 3-year span to get to that level. I see writers today been writing for 10 years. Where's the elevation? You know why there's no elevation? No competition. No reason.
Battles,
you need reason to elevate.
A raison d'etre,
you will. So every time you do a piece, it should be like, yeah, I'm going to outdo my last piece. Or I'm going to outdo my man. Like, cause when that's a piece of rage, we battle each other to ourselves. So we couldn't do nothing rubbish. We was like, oh, you didn't piece today. We never seen no one's outline on the day. Only the day you turned up with it. So you need to bring that the elevation game. You need to compete. It needs to be compete. You can't be just I'm going to go paint.
Is that the same? I mean, you're in the music game as are you. Do you both find, as I said, welcome to the Matt Insane podcast. Do you both find that you find yourselves subconsciously battling other musicians, or do they influence you or drive you forward to say, all right, fine, shit, so-and-so's brought this piece of music out, which is fantastic. I need to up my game because I want to take it to the next level. Or do you find it more insular?
I've got my own lane. So I've already done that part in the beginning. But in the beginning, I had a rule. My shit has to bang in the club. I had a rule. When your tune plays before, if my tune comes after yours, my tune's got to smother your tune.
Did you find that? I mean, there are quite a few beatboxers now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that, right. So, I knew when to pass the gauntlet on. You know, I knew when I was at my peak, and I was very athletic. I come from that era of battling, DJ battling. You know, when it got into music and stuff, I felt like I was trying to reinvent the wheel, trying to put beatboxing on a record and shit. So that became a competitive aspect. But on the whole, nothing beated being in the arena where you're
live
competing.
And yeah, it's a bit like painting, isn't it?
That's like a rush.
So
adrenaline, man.
So imagine if you're graffiti artist, you need to bring that rush.
That's
back,
right.
That drug.
Like at the moment, everyone's getting along. Yeah, it's all nice, and everyone's doing the same. Yeah, I get it.
And you know what I don't like about the scene either? Like, you do a piece on the wall, and there'll be a guy waiting behind you to go over it.
I've
got a new concept. This is the concept I'm going to do. If I do a piece on the wall, I'm doing a straight silver over it immediately. straight only me with the photograph.
Mm.
Because the way they have no respect. That's why I say Trillick, they need to have one wall dedicated for the burners, yeah? The other walls, it's for, yeah, have fun. But that wall there, only quality stuff goes in that wall. Mm. They need to have one wall. See, that's
or your paint gets wrapped.
You need to have one wall in Trillick. You need one wall where that wall's only for burners. So then you see the elevation of the game. So imagine you're in Trillick here, and you knew the back wall was the wall for burners. You as a new artist or artist coming up, you say, know what, one day I'm going to paint on that wall. Has that been in your head? One day I'm going to paint on that wall, and you will elevate your game so you could paint on that wall.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have reason. We need to bring back reason to bring back, you know what I mean, to elevate the game. Like I'm trying to bring something to the council. I'm trying to go to the council at Hyde Park. So when I start this ball rolling, I'm trying to liaise with someone in the Hyde Park to do like a, almost like you build like a Colosseum like Rome, a round Colosseum. It's just for artists. I say how much money that bring. You just go there. Imagine art in Hyde Park. People go there and you just do art. That'll bring so much tourist money. I'm walking down the Hyde Park. I'm like, yeah, got your birds flying around. Got this waste of ground. We can just build a wooden Colosseum that goes around in a spiral. You can have to do two floors or one floor. And everyone goes and paint there.
Do you do it as live art?
It's so, like a live art. People,
it's almost interactive.
Yeah, you just go there and paint.
And interactive.
Because that how much... When I'm painting, like, when I did a few pieces on my street, my own street that I live on, I'm like, when you paint on the street, the amount of people that stop there and just watch.
Mm.
So I think, well, if you were that in Hyde Park, how much people would be standing there watching what you're doing?
That'd be so sick.
Imagine Hyde Park, you can go there, any kids from the street can go there and do that art.
I do my garage door. I live in suburbia now. But it backs onto, like, a communal alley. Like you've got rows of houses in the school alley and my garage door, and you'd be surprised the amount of people, although some are like, well, what are you doing? And because it's your own garage door, it's like, what does it fucking look like? I'm
yeah, wicked.
Painting my fucking door, you prick. Fuck yeah, off. Yeah.
Do you want?
Or other times, some of them might be a bit more politer and say, I really like that and I've seen it. But some of these guys that go out and do illegals on the streets, they'll just tip up and paint stuff. I mean, people like, I think Arrow, who I don't know, but I love his stuff, and Tizer, and they will just go off. And some of the stories they make up that they get away with, they just bamboozle the old Bill.
If you act normal, it looks like...
Yeah, yeah, you can come up with a story. But then that's got me thinking of the there's always been and I hate to bring a downer on it but there's always been pettiness within. I think maybe it's human nature,
which is one of the reasons
apart from women and drugs that I walked away from it in the first place. Mm. I just couldn't be arsed with dealing with the bullshit and the arguments and even now coming back half the time I'm in this last 10 years I've been repainting. I've met people that I've never met.
Let me give you some. His painting. When I looked at Instagram, I said, well, Matthew's... Remember, when you left, you was really just starting art. And I said, when I saw your stuff on Instagram, like, damn, man, stepped the game up, man.
I said, he's a pop artist. It was just having some fun with it, but the pettiness is still there and you still see it. And I don't know whether it's jealousy or general hate. And you see it on Instagram where it's like people are just really, don't like him and he's this, he's that and I don't like that. And I think it is human nature. And that bit of it kind of annoys me. And the whole anti-street art movement, as you pointed out, there's room for all.
Yeah, there is room for
all. You can't cross your arms if you're not, because someone else is moving forward and you're not.
It's aerosol art. You can do whatever you do. That spray can.
Well, wasn't there a book called aerosol art?
Yeah, but that's what it's not. Well, I call it now. Yeah, it's now art.
Yeah, of course, yeah,
you got cans design. Right. You got can design for art. So it's to me, it's not graffiti art. It's aerosol art.
Hmm.
You might do traditional graffiti style, but there's majority is aerosol art. I love all the abstract. I love when I see guys doing graffiti and then you see their abstract
Zaki.
Stuff. I love that because that stuff doesn't. My head in.
Zaki D in the place to be. We see you.
I love you, baby.
You bloody bastard.
Oh, you've got a question for someone, right?
Snatch as well.
Who remembers the
mold? What was that?
Snatch?
Yeah. Did you say you touched Snatch?
No, shout out.
Oh, shout out to Snatch. He said you touched. That's a bit fucking...
That's a bit... Not on Matthew's podcast. Yeah. No, come on.
And shout out Kane. We're trying to get Kane to come back, but... Kane, come on, man. You got to come back, Kane, and do something, man. You know what I mean?
There's so many heroes out there, man. Yeah. And I bet they're all watching this right now, telling you.
But the graffiti things, like today, what I like, I said, I love watching stuff on Instagram and fascinated. How do they do that with a can? I'm like, how? Because I'm from the old era, so I haven't even caught up what's going on. I'm like, how do they do that with a can? Like, especially with these, I see stuff on YouTube where they've got the fat cap going fat to thin. I see men just painting with that one cap. I'm like,
wow. That's why sometimes it's nice to go down to some of these spots watch.
Listen.
Mad C.
Listen. The ladies, they're man. The ladies are like in graffiti art. They're like the ladies in rap. Because the ladies in rap right now, they're terrorizing the dudes in rap. Right?
For real.
Right? It's pure lyrical content. They're not messing around. The ladies in graffiti, Jesus Christ, man. I mean, they're coming hard, man.
Telling you.
I love the way, I love that Mad C. Whoa, she's hard, man.
Hold tight, girls on top as well.
Man, they're hard. But for real. Like, so the graffiti game, listen. We're in 2000 now. We can't be doing
2020.
This. 2020. We can't be doing shit this year, next year. We have to elevate, man.
Mm-hmm.
And start, if you do the same outline three or four times, man, it should be like, nah, man. You can't be doing that same thing again.
So, for next year, what you're saying is we are setting the bench high. So you've now put an inordinately large amount of pressure on
every artist.
Our shoulders. Because if...
I'm never going to do that in
2021 is the year.
Listen. I'm never going to do nothing twice. Never. I can sit down with any artist, get a pen. I use biro, you can use pencil.
To paraphrase Dr. Dre, give me one more Earth's Edge, fuck graph, you can have it back.
I
suppose you could have gone down the platinum disc route because it works with you in the music as well.
Oh yeah,
fuck rap. You can have it.
I would like to see good. I see people's Instagram, right? I don't say no names, but I see a lot of the same. I'm thinking, man, why can't they just try different? How can you have 20 photographs with the same outline but color different? I don't understand. Because you're more in tune with the new artists than me, but I don't understand why.
Don't drag me into
this. No, but well, that's if I look at someone's book, outline book, I say, man, look at the outline there. I said, when you do an outline, you're supposed to take the letters individually. The letters are supposed to have swagger, some style. There has to be some style. Because some of these outlines I'm seeing, I'm like, the outlines are awful, but the color schemes
can knock out.
Hide the letters.
I think that's
hide
a fair
the letters.
Assessment.
Yeah,
that's
kind of where
it's. What I notice now is letters and 3D. It's 3D and colors schemes. That is the piece. The 3D is off the chain, color schemes off the hook. But the letters are not very good, but the 3D and the color schemes, they've got that to a T. So now push the level, start doing letters.
You know
design.
What we don't see anymore? Is productions.
Yeah.
Which was a big thing. The production
now,
on that.
If you take Nonstop, they could all do letters. But Kane was arguably the better letterist of the three. State of Art could do characters.
Mm-hmm.
And Fade 2 used to do the mad colour schemes. Yeah. And for the backgrounds.
I love the good production.
And I literally had the privilege once of... There is one Nonstop piece... And it's signed State of Art, Kane, and me. Because Pedro had to go somewhere, and it was a bit... I literally did about that much, a little bit of background work. But it was always a pleasure to watch them because they produced productions, and they had people who were assigned certain jobs. And I think if you ask... in fact, I had a conversation with Doze and P in my garden during lockdown, and we were talking about staying power. And them thinking about potentially, you know, maybe coming back from that. But they talked about that as a production. And we looked at the picture and as much as you can see Prime's letters there and Doze's style, the workhorse or the walk carry, if you like, apparently was P. He did one kind of piece, but then they had him doing a lot of filling in. So rather than, you know, you could put your outline up knowing that someone who you trusted... come behind and put the colours in, and it didn't matter too much about mad colour schemes because the letters carried that piece off. So I think that's something I'd like to see again. Production,
not just like, not just, you know, you have the quick pieces like you're practicing.
Not three people painting together and all using the same colour scheme. We're talking about
a production. Yeah, have a proper goal there
for production.
Like, but I like Stockwell. I like the art level on Stockwell is very good.
Yeah, you know who killed it? VOP. VOP did great productions, you know, Mia.
He's one guy. I said to him, I like your stuff. I said, I like too much people's stuff, but yeah, you're one of the guys I like. It's about eight artists in UK. That's it. Whoa. Mm. I like, you know what I mean?
Mia's just always comes on point. You know it's him as well.
What are they doing?
The map
things they're doing.
Yeah, crazy.
Like, how do they do maps now?
Bro,
like,
he's selling them like yeah, those are currency. That's man, his currency.
Man,
like,
it's... I have a lot of drunken conversations with those late at night over tequila or bourbon. And we talk about how sometimes graph doesn't translate too well on a canvas. Maps are all right. I'd love to have a wall and laminate it with all the different,
different
maps. But if you go to some of these exhibitions, you look at Mad C's canvases and they're like, it's a piece of a piece that's been put up there and it really works.
That's what I started
If you do a canvas and it's like a shrunken wall or a shrunken train, you look at it. Personally, that's my view. I mean,
I love a map. What you said perfectly, because I look at the canvas, I said, no, what I do? I've got three canvases in my house. I said, I'm not going to do letters. I'm going to do my colour schemes on the canvas.
Yeah, exactly. Look, each to their own. Yeah. And some people pieces on canvases. It needs to be on a wall or a train on a canvas. It just doesn't do it justice. Yeah, no. And I sit there and I think it's not for me. But that's subjective. I mean, you're welcome to your own opinions.
Comments below, please.
Someone will put a comment that I'm a dick. Yes, yeah. I probably am. That's fine. You are... entitled to your opinion, but I don't like pieces
and
on canvas.
All graffiti artists out there, the ones that are doing this stuff right now, if you said to yourself, how can I improve myself? Really ask yourself that question. How can I improve that self? And most of them say outlines.
He's running classes and books. If you're going across the bottom
why? Because before I want to see these artists I'm seeing now, I want to see them next year. I want to see different styles, man, different letters, different. I want to see something blow my mind. I want to see something myself in my face. I want to see some bad boy letters because in our days,
I tell you who did that and was one of the early adopters, along with the like State of Art, and it is Fuel. If you look where he went to quite early, that there's stuff that people are doing now, which he
and Prime together,
Prime as well. I was in school in the fourth year, I think, which is year 9 or year 10.
That's
new
right.
money.
Yeah,
they've changed it round. Mm. And there was me, Time and Saga, and we were bombing throughout the school. And then one day this Prime tag appeared, and it was like, oh my good God, it's Prime. And he was a year or two below me, which is I then got to know him and kind of hang out with him. And he took me. I didn't really do South. I still don't. I'm like a taxi driver. Sorry, son, don't do South this time of night. and he took me to some walls that he was painting. And I think a lot of that London Giants thing that. We had a Christmas drink up, and I was talking to Mark, and I always used to say that I got South and West together because, you know, and he disputes that and he's probably right. But he had a thing with the Giants and he was kind of battling them by himself. And he introduced me to Crash, who became one of my lifelong friends.
Big up Crash. Skateboard Crash.
Yeah, my mum says hello, Matthew. Shit, giving his name away. And they created this thing, and this was prior to the Earth's Edge, where they created this super group, a bit like you see with the classic rock bands of the 70s, All-Star Kings.
That's what we're battling them.
And All-Star Kings was part of No Limits. It was part of State of Art. It had Prime in it. It had and they were battling London Giants. And there was some beautiful pieces in the pit. But then Bunny then said, fuck this, we need to take it to the next level and do something there's no coming back from, which is where you got to the Earth's Edge and Johnny's story. But there are some pioneers out there that that really pushed it forward. And you've got to think about people like Score and Merck, who never really stopped and have continued to document the scene going
Hoarders
through.
Boy, Graf Hoarders.
Yeah,
boy,
Graf Hoarders, we love you.
Shout out B-Boy Documents as well. Excel, Hope
Yeah,
Excel.
But there's so many names you can here and say that. It's like making new friends, as I said before. There's people that I didn't know Doze back then. Which is ridiculous. And now we're, I'd say, drinking buddies. I knew P. But there's so many names you sit here and then you're going to upset people. And then
we've got to say Drax.
CBM as well. Met and Crept and those guys.
Oh, my God, yeah. We got cast. We got cast. Cool Crush Dukes. Hey, phone hold cards are hard.
Big up, Matt. Hold tight, Matt.
Arguably, we did him a favour. Hold tight, Diet. He went on to do much bigger things than we did on
man,
trains.
Train phone was a killer. Accurate,
hold tight.
Man, phones are here.
We're just running out of names. Listen, boys.
DDS.
Hold DDS crew.
And Casby.
It's not COVID.
Casby, this is a good way of saying it. What the most graffiti writers are now are modern day Casbys. Modern day Casby's neat.
Yeah, I think
Casby was in them days. He had American influence, but he was so neat. We used to love Casby's sharpness, but we was anti-American. That's what it was. We didn't own UK thing. Casby was very neat, and that's what most of the artists now they're doing, that kind of Subway Art stuff that I call them modern day Casbys.
He was from around World's End, and he knew Saga that they. And Saga Jason was neat. But he had his own style at that time.
He wasn't an American. He was doing his own thing. Yeah.
Off on a tangent with his colour schemes and stuff. And I mean, you're right. That there's just too many people to mention that you kind of literally you don't want to forget people. No. And
you know who you are.
No,
zombie. Hold tight, zombie.
Big up hate. I've got to say, big up hate.
You know, Yanni and
course, Yanni.
But there's just.
It's just go,
so many wonderful people that I met then and now that, and I'm still friends with him from 85 and until now and everyone and it was nice to kind of come back. I guess I had a hiatus as opposed to stopping, as did you. Just took a little break from it.
When I went online, listen, I had no joke. When he goes, when I started going back into the graphing and I went on Insane's page. Yeah, my man does enough pieces, boy. I was shocked. How I remember him doing graph before, he elevated tenfold. I'm like, wow. I was baffled. So, I mean, I must say, I respect all the artists today, but I would respect you more if you elevate the game. Yeah? Like, we have to push the boundaries now, man. Like, I'm not going to come into... I'm nowhere as good as these artists today. But I tell you, if I'm writing for 1 year, 2 years, the way I... Man, you're not finished, man. I tell you straight, if I elevated them times to 2 years and you've been writing 10 years and you've only got to that standard.
I think
I'm a little worried, bro.
I think we've gone full circle. And I'll tell you this much.
We're done.
I think the future is extremely bright because there is some stuff that is going to be going down but we can't talk about it.
To the time.
I've got to say, thank you for having us.
Yes,
it's been a real pleasure. And long overdue.
And I hope we're going to get in the studio. I didn't know you did this music thing. So we'll get, man.
You heard that here first.
Yeah, baby. That's
Black
it.
Ops. Black Ops and Killer Keller.
I always said I wanted a beatboxer. If I can get a beatbox in my studio, man.
They all know. You know.
There we go.
You know the deal.
To be them, do them dirty basses with your voice. Yeah. No, cheeky, that's what I want.
Be the bass my middle name. We're on this.
Listen. I'm going to do a sub-load.
Come on.
If you're still watching now, you really have got nothing to do with your life. Go to bed.
Go to bed.
It's too late.
This has been Insane and Riches.
Thank you very much.
Podcast. Smashed it, boys.
Yes, man.
Fulfilled my ambitions completely. And I'm so thankful for you guys coming through.
One more question for you, all right? I was asked this year, imagine this year, in the 80s, right? How much money the spray companies lost? because we wrecked paint non-stop. You know, I mean, think about America.
Yeah, they did. But let me flip it on its head. How much money are the paint companies making now?
Now, yeah, making... Yeah.
Because no one... You can't really rack that
no,
much.
No, no, but not quality paint. Well, you never really thought about the how much money they lost. Because look, in America, how much... They wrecked in America non-stop. So that was an industry that was losing money.
Yeah, but hold on, wait a minute. So the war was cars versus trains. So essentially, you were taking the weapons from the cars and attacking the trains. So the trains actually were the opposition to the cars. So the car companies were happy that you were going to go and hit the trains because it meant that cars were more, I don't know, more...
But how much money was lost in these? Think about how much money was lost.
While I'm having a piss, I'll think on that one.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're out. Like, it was all our fashion.
Yo,
thank you.
Hit me up on my Instagram, RichNOZ, and that's Johnny Cash Music with a Z.
That's it. No limits inside the house. Stay lucky, people.
Yo.
Peace.
Oh, I'm bastard for this. How's your lip?